Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, Victory Orlando. You may be seated. You may be seated. How are you doing this morning? For those of you who came to hear a Hong Kong pastor and are disappointed that I'm not Asian, I'm very sorry. And you've actually ended up with an Australian preaching the word to you this morning. But what a thrill to be here today. And as Pastor Caleb said, again, one of my best mates, and it's been an incredible 10 years of serving in ministry together around the world. And it is an incredible honor to be here at Victory Orlando today. And again, Pastor Caleb and Sarah are doing an incredible job. And I shared with some of the team earlier, and I just want to share this with you as a church, that one of the missions of the church is that we must always be apostolic. And that means to be sent. And we're always in the process of sending. And God is a sending God. And I like to say this, the church doesn't need a mission, but God's mission needs a church. I'll say that again, the church doesn't need a mission. But God's mission needs a church to be able to outwork into the community and into wherever God places us around the world. And I know that this is just one of many churches that are still to come from Pastor Caleb and Sarah. And I'm excited about Chris and Heather and all that's in store for the future here at Victory Orlando. But do you love Jesus? Fantastic. Why don't we just open our hearts? I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would speak to us and minister to us by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would encourage us and uplift us. I pray, Lord, that your word would bring life. I pray that it bring encouragement. I pray that it would bring hope into every heart, every life, and every one of our situations. No matter how hard things seem, God, I pray today that you would visit us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, by way of introduction, I'll introduce myself. I'm Wayne. I'm married to Melody. And here's a picture of a couple of pictures. This is my family. That's Melody in the middle. Our daughter, Kayla, who just turned 18. And our son, Riley, who just turned 16 last week. And he got to meet his heroes this week in Los Angeles. He's a big YouTuber and follows Smosh. He got to meet all them, and he's a great kid. Our son Riley, I'm going to talk a little bit later, but our son Riley is autistic, and since the age of three, so for the last 13 years of his life, we've been on an incredible journey of God's faithfulness and just seeing him grow and develop. And I just want to encourage some of you here today. Maybe there's special needs in your family. Maybe there's and you've been wondering, where is God in the midst of all of this? I just want to tell you, God can work and do amazing things in the lives of those around us, no matter what situation's going on. And I just want to bring a word of hope and encouragement to you today. So that's my beautiful family. And we've been in Hong Kong for 21 years. And it's an amazing city. Hong Kong is a city of over 7 million people. And just where we've been doing some of our outreach in the suburb of Mong Kok in Kowloon City. It is the most densely populated city on earth. Now, you can have a look there. Our church, by the way, is the building on the far right-hand side over there. And I'll show you in just a moment what that's like. But in Hong Kong, the population density is 132,000 people in a two-third square mile. It's a lot of people. And I tell you what, I love it that God has given this as our mission field. And that's why we're so passionate about it. That's a picture of inside our church. I've got another photo of our church, if you put it up on the screen, just so you can see the perspective. We're meeting there on the 75th floor, and it is the third tallest building in Hong Kong, but we have this beautiful view over the whole city. And I like to tell our church, maybe that's the only other photo we've got. That's okay. I like to tell our church that we are in a high place, but not just so that we can get up and away, but so that we can have a perspective about who we're to reach and what we're to do. So we're a church that meets up there, but we're very much a church that is operating at the street level in every possible way that we can. So that is Sky City Church. And if you're interested, if you're ever in Hong Kong, come and visit us, come and say hello. But I want to jump into the word. Today I want to talk to you about reinvention. Reinvention is a subject to me that God has been stirring in me that really centers on one of the things that we need to be embracing in our lives, and that is that reinvention is necessary. Change is necessary. Change is an important part of life, and we need to embrace it in every way that we possibly can. When I met my wife in 1994, she came from Seattle, Washington to Hong Kong to recover from cancer surgery. They removed a malignant melanoma off her thyroid gland, and in the process of doing the surgery, what happened was the surgeon accidentally nicked the vocal nerve, which meant that one of her vocal cords was paralyzed. And it's been paralyzed ever since. And that means that one of her vocal cords, when you look at it with a camera, it's completely stationary, while the other vocal cord is very active. Now, when I met my wife in 1994, she had no voice whatsoever. She came to Hong Kong to recover. Her parents were missionaries there. And as she was recovering, we met each other at the first day that she came to the same church that I was at. That's how we met. And it was a wonderful thing because for those of you who know what it's like to meet, your future partner and you can't quite hear them, it gives you an excuse to say, could you say that again? Just get a little bit closer and I can't hear you. Could you say that again? She had a very husky voice and that was the melody that I knew. The doctor said if her voice doesn't come back in 6 months that it's going to be permanent. And 3 months went by, 4 months went by and she barely had a whisper and that's the only voice I ever knew. But on the sixth month, almost identically to what the doctors were saying, in one phone call, I got a phone call from somebody that I had never heard before. And it was my girlfriend at the time, my wife, Melody. But I said, who is this? And she said, it's Melody. And I said, I don't believe you. And we had to do, some of those questions and answers just to make sure because I'd never heard her voice before. It was an amazing experience. In a moment, her voice had come back. That's what I call reinvention, where something that was completely dead has come alive again. God has made our bodies in incredible ways that they can recalibrate and readjust no matter what it is that we're facing so that we can overcome incredible obstacles. Reinvention. When I think about reinvention, I think about the lobster. In Hong Kong, we love soft shell crab. For those of you who don't know what soft shell crab is, it's where they harvest the crab and they do it right after it's shed its shell and then they deep fry it and then they add the chili and the spices. And it means that you can eat the crab in its shell because the shell is so soft and it means you don't have to peel away all the hard bits. So you get all the good stuff in one go. It's an amazing experience. One of the close friends to a crab is the lobster. Now the lobster sheds its shell 25 times in the first 5 years of its life. 25 times. Now, a lobster, a crab doesn't live that long, but a lobster will live to 100 years old if they're not caught and eaten beforehand. And it continues to shed its shell once every year for the rest of its life. So in the first 5 years, it sheds its shell 25 times, and then it sheds it once every year for the rest of its life. So friends today, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, reinvention and change and the breaking out of whatever shell is on our life is something for every person. And what is true in nature is true for us. What is true here, we see it. God is our same creator and he's caused us and created us to break out of the shells and the things that hold us back, reinvention. Bob Black says this, the reinvention of daily life means marching off the edge of our maps. We need to reinvent ourselves. I hear people say all the time that we need to think outside of the box. And I kind of challenge that thinking and say, well, we have restriction, we have barriers, we have things that we can't get outside of. So we need to think inside the box. But as children do, when you give them a black and white piece of paper with the outline on it, they get the crayon and they start to just paint everywhere over the page. So we need to think inside the box, but we need to color outside the lines. That's how life should be. And I want to tell you, we need to step off the edge of our known territories. That's what reinvention means. And I want to encourage you today. God, by his Holy Spirit, is wanting you, as you leave this place today, to know that you can reinvent, you can change, you can have a new beginning with Jesus at the center of everything that we do. Can I hear an amen? Revelation 21 verse 5 says, he who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. Everybody say new. Lamentations 3 verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great God is your faithfulness. Our God is a God who can make old things completely new again. That's what reinvention is all about. And I want God to take some of the old things in my life and make it completely new again. Amen. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. There's a new thing here. Maybe this is your first time in a church and you're wondering, why is everybody so happy? Why is the preacher so happy? Why is the worship so happy and encouraging? It's because we're a new creation because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't help but smile. I know I got a dimple. I grew a beard to try and cover it up because somebody left our church because I was too happy. And it's true. And I said, I can't help it. Church should be an encouraging place because God is doing a new thing. Amen. So when people are reinvented, we are changed so much that we appear to be completely new again. Amen. There's a great story in the Bible. I don't have time to go into all of it, but I will read it to you briefly. Acts chapter 9. We see this incredible conversion story of Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Verse 1 says, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, talking about Christianity, that's how they were known, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. We understand that Paul was a Pharisee. And he saw it as his role to protect the law and to protect to represent God in every way. And so we see here that he is breathing out these threats against the Christians that are rising up in the city. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, verse 3, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, you have to understand here that this is a traumatic moment for Saul because he thinks he's representing God. And yet he knows when there is a voice that comes from heaven and it's God, and then he hears that voice that he understands to be God saying, you're persecuting me, something is terribly wrong. And so he now has this predicament that he's in. Verse 5, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus that you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. This is essentially God saying, Jesus saying, Saul, I am about to reinvent you. All the persecution that was happening with the Christians, God was basically saying, no, you're persecuting me. When you persecute one of my followers, you're actually persecuting me. And now Saul is having this moment of trauma that he goes through. And the men traveling with Saul, verse 7, they were speechless and they heard the sound, but did not see anyone. And Saul got up, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. They led him by hand, and for 3 days he was blind and he did not eat or drink anything. In this one moment, Saul received a new perspective on what divine redemption was all about. He received a new agenda for his life. How many of you want a new agenda for your life every now and then? I know I do. His old life was rebuked. End of story. He now hears that Jesus is alive. He also understands that Christ and his followers are inseparable. I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. Verse 10, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named Tarsus from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying and in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. I've lost my place. It's here somewhere. I'm in the Bible somewhere. There we go. Verse 14, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. This story is a reinvention of not only Saul, but a reinvention in the life of Ananias. Why is that? Can you imagine being told to go into the home of the most threatening man in the community and being told to lay hands on him? It takes some incredible courage, but I tell you, it's like a shell that had to be shed off the life of Ananias to be able to get up the courage to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to lay hands on him, and then take a look at how the story finishes. Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales from Saul's eyes. Come on, like the shell that comes off a lobster or off a crab when somebody's about to step into a whole new level of growth, a whole new level of blessing, a whole new level of prosperity, a whole new level of destiny in God's hands. The scales came off and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Can I hear an amen? When God takes the scales off your eyes, when God reinvents you, God wants to give you strength again to rise up into that new thing. And there's a few things that I want to just, observations that I want to give you today on reinvention. Here's my points, and I'll begin with number one. Reinvention means that change is a constant. It's not optional. You can't stop it. It has to be a part of our life. We need to reinvent ourselves constantly. You need to understand that change is what is keeping you alive. If you don't get into the process of discarding the hard things in your life so that you can grow into what God has called you to grow into, you are going to stunt your growth such that it will hurt you and keep you from being who you're called to be. Change is dangerous in a church. Avoiding change is dangerous in a church. And we have to understand that if we're not constantly embracing change, you've got to understand the message of the church never changes. It never changes. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. But the way we preach the word, the way we contextualize the word of God, the way we reach our communities, that has constantly got to be undergoing a process of change and reinvention so that the church of Jesus Christ is at the head and not at the tail, so that we are on the forefront of breakthrough and bringing spiritual redemption to our city in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? 70% of churches never make 100 years. Those are the statistics these days. I heard that in the UK. And I want to tell you, Victory Orlando is not a church that's just here for a few years. You've got to have it in your heart that the reason God has placed us here is because we are building a church, and churches plural, across the United States and across the earth that are going to be here for generations to come. You are a part of sowing into a foundation that is going to be reaped for your children, grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. It's good soil in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The way our lives should be is something like this. A permanent state of reinvention. You get to somewhere, but you must never be too comfortable for too long. It's time to go back around again and start over. And I find that it's almost like if that's 360 degrees, you start at zero and you get to 180 and you've had a complete change in life. Only to find that when you're there, it's zero and you've got to go back to, or it's like being back at the beginning and you've got to go another 180 degrees. Change and reinvention has got to be a permanent state of mind and condition for our lives. I like to paraphrase Jethro and say, he said this to Moses, thinking you have all the answers is unhealthy. We understand Moses was doing way too much. But I want to tell you that reinvention is what removes growth inhibitors. You see, Moses was thinking, I'm stressed out here. I'm doing all the work. I don't know how I'm going to do it. It took Jethro to come and speak into his life and say, you've got it all wrong. You've got to change your thinking. And so he had to reinvent his thinking. And it removes the growth inhibitors. How many of you, when you were a young kid, like I was in Australia, we had a brand of shoes called Clark shoes. And Clark is that school shoe. It's a black shoe. Everybody wore the same shoe. And when I went to get my shoes as a kid, I might have been 8 years old. My mum would take me in and I'd put my my foot onto one of those shoe scale thingamajibs, you know, the thing with all the lines on it and the steel things. And in America, it's the first place I've heard of wide, medium and narrow feet. I don't know why a foot is a foot for us in Australia. So I remember buying my first pair of shoes in America and they said, are you wide, medium or narrow? And I said, I just know that I'm a size 13. That's it. And anyway, as kids, we would put our feet on that thing. And my mum would always say to the lady, let's say it gives them a size 7. My mum would say, give him an 8.5. Now, why would she do that? Because it's January. Our school year starts in January or February. Yours starts in August, September. And it's that. And she's thinking through to then, my feet are going to grow. And so what you do is you buy big shoes. And so we're walking around in shoes that are too big for half a year. And then they're about just right for the next half a year. And you get what I'm saying. We're removing things that cause growth inhibition. And that's what reinvention will do for you. We've got to change our shoes. We've got to step up into a new size or else we're going to inhibit our growth. Amen. Third thing, reinvention means discomfort. It'll mean discomfort. And there's an illustration I want to give you because we all have this place that we call a comfort zone, don't we? With our jobs and with our life the way it is, we're very, very comfortable and we live there. But what I've learned is you've got to always stretch yourself. All right, now I could say, look, I have enough education or whatever, but I figured I need to learn more about leadership. So I'm back at university doing a master in leadership. It's not comfortable. It's inconvenient. I've got more things to do with my time, but I figured I need to stretch myself. Now, there's such a thing as stretching yourself too far that you get into a danger zone. And what you've got to figure out in your life is that place where you are being stretched, but it's not dangerous. Stretched, but you're not comfortable. And you need to find that place and you need to live there. And I would say that you can live and learn and be in a place where you're constantly pushing yourself. And that's what reinvention is all about. Be learning, be in that place where you are not comfortable all the time. Amen. Reinvention, number four, means that and recognizes that my turf is too small. My turf, where I'm standing, it's too small. I've got to enlarge the place that I'm standing. And now, what do I mean by that? First of all, we need to have more room for friends and new relationships in our life. In Hong Kong, we have a favorite kind of food called dim sum. Anybody know what dim sum is? Okay, dim sum, it's like a whole lot of different snack foods that come at the table all at once. And what happens is we sit at a big round table on these tiny little chairs, not made for Australians like me. And they're these tiny little chairs, but then three or four friends show up. And when that happens, what everyone does is they all scoot around and we find room for the other people at the table. Now then another three people might show up. What we have to do is we then scoot back so that we make a bigger circle so that we can fit more people in. Now, when we understand that our turf is too small, we need to make room for more people, but don't have such a closed off life that you can't even reinvent some of the relationships in your life. Can I hear an amen? The church is not a place for us to gather together with just a small clique of people. We have got to have room in our lives that we can welcome somebody else into this circle of family, this circle of home, our circles of friendship. Our turf is too small by ourselves. If we're the smartest person in the room, we need to find another room. If we are always the seen as the boss in the room, we need to get ourselves into a place of intimidation. Can I hear an amen? Reinvention, I'll go quickly. Reinvention takes incredible courage. It takes courage. It takes fight. I found that when I was a Christian in high school. I was always picked on for being a Jesus follower in high school. My friends would say, well, the so-called friends would say, Crooks a Christian. They would throw me down these into these holes and just throw. I remember in a hall, there was a big hole under the stage and they would throw chairs and tables yelling out, he's a Christian, a crook's a Christian. And they'd just be intimidating and picking on me as much as they could. But it takes incredible courage to stand up for Jesus. It takes incredible courage to change your life and decide to be a follower of Jesus when other people in your family are not Christian. We know what that's like in Hong Kong when somebody from a Buddhist family decides to follow Jesus and they have to go back and say to mum and dad or brothers and sisters, I've decided to follow Jesus. It takes incredible courage. But I want to encourage you, fight on in Jesus' name. Amen. Reinvention is biblical. It is biblical. The Bible has stories of reinvention all the way through it. I love Pastor Alan Hewitt from Wales in the United Kingdom said every revival is divine reinvention. When you're praying for revival, you are praying for reinvention. Don't be looking to the revivals of yesterday. Don't be looking to the church experiences of what you've had in the past and bringing it here. God wants to do something new for Victory Orlando. Can I hear an amen? God wants to do a divine reinvention. And when we talk about revival, it means it's something for 2017. And it's going to look nothing like what you've seen in the past. Amen. Reinvention challenges the status quo and existing practices. I believe that. Always challenge the status quo. The next thing, reinvention always attracts resistance. How many of you have noticed that? When you decide to change something, how it always attracts resistance. Always. But I want to encourage you today, despite the resistance that you face, and in fact, keep praying for your pastors because they're out at the front lines of spiritual warfare, bringing divine reinvention and revival to communities and to Orlando, Florida. And as they do that, there is resistance. But we need a church. We need a people who are praying and who are saying, God, we're going to fight and we're going to believe for the courage that it's going to take to see a city won for Jesus Christ. Amen. And finally, I'll just share this if the musicians want to come. Reinvention means that your story is never over. Can I give you a hashtag? My story is not over. It's not over. Your story is not over. When you've got Jesus on your side, you could have said that that Saul, who was a murderous man, he was a threatening man. You could have said that Saul was somebody who could never change. Most people would have said, come on, he's that Pharisee, he's that anti-Christian guy, and there's no hope. But I want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit is involved, when Jesus is at the center of our lives and he's at the center of our purpose and our plan, your story is not over. Can I hear an amen? God wants to bring us a new beginning. God wants to bring you a new start. God wants to give you a divine reinvention. Today we get overwhelmed when we think about reinvention. We think about change and we're thinking about 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the track. And I don't want you to look at the 2 or 3 years down the track. Nothing wrong with that. We need to plan. But just so that we can make this so practical today as a church, I don't want you to look at the long term. I just want you to look at the next step. What is that thing that God has been speaking to you about that you need to change in your life? What is that one thing that you know He's put on your heart to do? What is that one thing? Maybe it's something that you want to commit to serve to give towards, to volunteer for. Maybe it's a business idea. It's an entrepreneurial idea and you've been holding off and there's a shell that's keeping you in. But I want to encourage you today, don't think about the process because it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful. What I want you to think about is the next step. And then I want you to, after you've taken that step, take another step and let God be with you in the stepping process of reinventing your life. Don't worry about 3 days, 10 days, 3 months, 10 weeks, 10 months, whatever it is. Don't worry about the future, just worry about today. Jesus himself said, who by worrying can add any time to their life? Just worry about today and today's trouble and today's steps and this moment. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's got you. God's got you. If you need a divine reinvention today, I just want to close by praying for you. If you need a miracle in your life, if you know God has brought you here today to hear this message, to say, yeah, I need to take a step of faith. I need to take a next step towards what God has spoken to me to do. I just want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask us to close our eyes across this place. But if you know God is speaking to you today, I just want to invite you to stand to your feet right where you are, just across this audience, because I'm going to pray over you right now.